My guest in the second hour, I think, is in that legend category. Rhonda Vinson, who has been a guest on Unreal Bluegrass, I'll say maybe 10 times. She's always willing to come on and chat about what's going on. We're going to talk to her about a couple new songs, a new project she's got in the way, her induction into the Grand Ole Opry, which, if you saw that online, what a fantastic event for Rhonda. Nobody more deserving than Rhonda Vinson with the music and the band she's put out for so long, traveled so much on the road. By the way, she's a little bit antsy to get back out on the road for reasons that we all know by now. But Rhonda Vinson, one of my favorite people to have on the show, and she comes back pretty much whenever she's asked. Respect for you, I think. My guest today on Unreal Bluegrass, a frequent contributor, Rhonda Vinson. How are you doing, Rhonda?
Hey there. I'm hanging in there during this time. It's kind of sad being home, and I miss being out on the road, but there are lots of projects that I'm trying to catch up in, and then learning some new technology, too.
See, you know, I brag about Rhonda Vinson being at the cutting edge of technology. I want to take that the second. Well, and it's true, though. I think you're kind of savvy. I remember the very first time I contacted you with the show, it had been through maybe an Instagram. No, it was probably a Twitter. But you were on that a long time ago. The song that I just played for the audience that tuned in, if I could, or like I could, if you'd want to talk. I remember talking about that in the past, maybe just you personally, but fill that out a little bit, then I want to talk to you about what we're going through right now.
Well, it was a very unlikely song for me to have. I was actually riding around Nashville with Junie Seeley, another unlikely thing that you'd be riding around, but...
But it sounds good to say that, doesn't it?
It does. It does. I was just riding around Nashville one day. And actually, she started telling me how she was terrified to do a co-write, like sign up, you know, make an appointment, meet, which is mostly what Nashville writers do. She was terrified to do that. And Bill Anderson had been urging her and saying, you know what, you need to be co-writing with these people. Set up an appointment, and she's such a, you know, a songwriter that's had cuts by so many people. I mean, in every genre, Merle Haggard and just so many different people. And he said, you need to be co-writing and, you know, co-write with some of these new writers. It gives you a fresh new approach. Well, she was terrified to do that, but had this idea. She had part of this song written. So she called Aaron Enderlin and Bobby Tomerlin. They had been asking to write with her. She set up the appointment. She said, you know what, I figured I already had the idea, so if we got there and we just hit a wall and had nothing, she said, I would feel like I'd already contributed something. But they wrote the song very quickly. Anyway, we're riding around Nashville, and she starts telling me about the song, how she wrote it, and she started singing part of it to me. And it is one of those moments when I knew instantly, I love this song. And I thought to myself, I was hesitant because I'm thinking she's probably written this for someone in country music. I mean, but I said, I would love to record it. I decided to become bold enough to say, I'd like to record this. And she said the exact same words to me that I said to her the night that she invited me to be a member of the Grand Ole Opry. And she said, are you serious? And I said, well, yes, it's feeling so far. When we got back to her house, and I got in my car and started to go home, and she texts me. She goes, were you serious about recording my song? And so she was still unsure about it. And the same thing for me when she invited me February 28th of 2020, I was stunned and shocked, and I said the same thing to her. I wasn't sure my ears were hearing correctly or that she was serious. And anyway, and then the craziest thing, I knew I had the song. I was holding several songs, waiting for the opportunity to go in the studio and record. Well, so she invites me to sing on – she's making a project that is produced by Don Cusick from Belmont University. So Mr. Cusick is producing this project. They were supposed to have Vince Gill sing a duet with Jeannie, and – he evidently got in there, and it didn't fit him vocally or something. And he says to Jeannie, you should get Rhonda Vinson to sing this with you.
Mm.
So, I mean, it's just how all of this, you know, God just pieces all of this together. It's amazing the opportunities that he brings. I mean, to have Vince Gill recommend that you sing something, how that just boggles my mind right there in itself.
I think it shows his wisdom.
Oh,
So, well, the song did very well.
Yes, it did. It has become a number one song. We debuted it on the Grand Ole Opry, and I love the song. I love it so very much.
Well, you mentioned.
And so I ended up recording it. I'm in the studio recording this duet with Jeannie when the studio was canceled for the very next session. And I said, hey, could I get that? I literally called musicians with an hour's notice. I said, hey, could you get to the studio? Anyway, that's when I ended up recording the song. I loved it. I still love it. You know, you hear a song. I heard Jeannie sing it, and I loved it. I started singing it myself, but you don't know until you record it. And then you sit back and you listen to it back. And I try to listen objectively, not, oh my goodness, I love this song, so I want to like it. It's like, no, I listen objectively to say, how does this make me feel? Do I think others will love this as much as I do? And so I think they did. And so thrilled it's become a number one song. And people, they yell. If we don't sing it, they yell it from the audience to sing it. So that's a good sign, I think.
I think it's a great sign. It's a great song. And you mentioned one of the events that I wanted to talk to you. I hadn't had a chance to talk to you. Although I was again, thumbing through social media when I saw the live announcement that you mentioned about the Grand Ole Opry. And I would like for you to go through that a little bit. I know it's something that... was something that's desirous. You've been doing this for a long, long time. But what goes through your head at that moment?
Well, I did not think she was serious. I thought in my ears, you know, it was like that wishful thinking. It was February 28th, 2020. It was my 215th performance on the Grand Ole Opry. I had already become at peace with probably never being a member of the Opry. It's something I had grown up listening to. We've listened to WSM, the Martha White Show, the Grand Ole Opry every time it was on. My family listened before I was ever born, so grew up in this musical family. We always listened. But I decided, you know what, it's probably never going to happen, and I'm thrilled that I just get to stand on the stage. I get to perform here quite often. So when she said, how would you like to be a member of the Grand Ole Opry, I just couldn't believe my ears. It was so fantastic and so beyond anything you could ever imagine that it's like, are you serious? That's what I said to her. And then I just grabbed her and she's like, you know, and her voice is kind of broken when she even said it. She was so emotional because she said, that is one of the greatest things about being a member of the Grand Ole Opry is having the honor of inviting someone else. And especially a friend. And so we were doing an interview and she starts choking up. The Opry, no matter how many times she's been on there, is still that so important to her as it is to me.
You know, the video, I can see what you're saying. It's not audible, but I'm sure the video is still available. I know I've watched it a couple times, but you can actually see that you're saying exactly what you said. Your reaction is exactly as someone reading your lips would indicate, total shock. And I was so thrilled. I don't know why I was thumbing around that night, and I saw it as it was happening. Some kind of, I guess.
Oh,
it was
wow.
I thought, well, this is incredible. And who could be more deserving than Rhonda Vincent at this point? And I didn't know you'd been 200 plus, but I knew you'd been on there a lot. I know that your career would certainly lend itself to having that opportunity, but it was such a great moment. I was just thrilled to death to see it happen. And
thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And so they had a date set for the actual, I guess there's a certain, I won't call it a service, but there's an induction, we'll put it induction ceremony.
Yes, yes.
And so that was set for March, which, of course, now no time exists, and nobody gets together anywhere. So you were probably mentally geared up not long after that to have the induction, which can't happen physically the way the celebration should be for a while.
Right, and that's the crazy thing. As we were looking at, they were asking me, you know, how do we want to do this? Do you want to do interviews? And I wanted to do a plaza party, you know, because I like to meet the fans, the people, instead of behind the scenes. I said, let's do a plaza party. I said, I will greet everyone as they come into the Opry House that night. That was supposed to be March 24th. And the head of the Opry, he said to me, Rhonda, I think, and this is right as this everything was starting to become more isolated. He goes, I think you are probably the only person in the world that would be willing to meet and greet people as they came into the Opry at this time. So he decided I would not do that, but we would do everything backstage, you know, with family and friends, and then ended up none of it happened. So, see, maybe this is all meant to be when I am, whether it's years from now or whatever, whether it's tomorrow, you know, my hope is to have this big party out in the Opry Plaza as everyone comes in and a celebration so we can all celebrate together.
And I will tell you this, the people who are tuning in on Real Bluegrass, I'm talking to Rhonda Vincent again, always a favorite guest, and just someone that I really admire and like a lot. But I will tell you this, if you've not seen Rhonda live, what she is telling you about meeting everybody individually is consistent with her live performances. If you go to a show, and I've even talked to you about one time you stretched it out too long and you got a little, she will not leave, in my experience. She won't leave a performance venue until every person in line who wants to shake hands or get something signed or just say hello is finished. And then she leaves. And so I'm not surprised in the least that you would want to meet everybody coming in at such an event. I mean, I remember the story you told me once about you just got a little, I guess it was a low blood sugar or something. You've been standing in line for so long and got a little ill, but you've not stopped doing that. I've seen you many times since then. I wasn't there when that happened, but that's a remarkable thing, I think, about you and how much you want to give back to the audiences. I don't know how I perform like you, and I would use the term affectionately as a road warrior. So I've also talked to you about your long career on the road, and you've mentioned to me that you know how you know when you've been home for several days because you aren't sleeping. You're so used to being on the road, and I can't imagine a performer like you that connects so well with the audience. They love you. You love them, and even to the point that you would get dizzy in a line or people. How do you now with everything shut down, aside from the business end of the touring and the performing, how do you, Rhonda Vincent, you are a performer. How are you dealing with not being able to get in front of your fans and perform? You have to get a lot back from that. They do, but what do you do as the person who's no longer getting to stand in front of crowds who adore you?
Well, it is. It becomes a very sad time. And I talk to other musicians, and, you know, they're isolated, or there's this sadness. And, you know, even to some tragic endings that I know I've just recently heard about in Nashville. And I think that's looking at different ways to connect. Now, luckily, I have a very active Facebook page. And so I love getting to hear from I tell you, my new goal is, do you know that Facebook has the messages, and there's a certain thing you have to respond within so long. I haven't made it yet, but anyway, they give you, it's almost like rewards and stuff. So I keep telling myself I'm going to do that, but I have not attained that yet. But I have seen a tremendous increase. Like it used to be several thousand. Now it's in the millions. My reaches on my Facebook this week is 11 million reaches.
Holy cow.
So it's unbelievable. My husband and I have also been fishing quite a lot. He caught an 11 pound catfish. I just happened to kick on my Facebook Live for that catfish, and it was kind of like it was talking or singing or something. I had never seen that before. And anyway,
the fish was singing?
The fish was kind of talking. Have you ever seen a talking catfish?
I've not. I've caught a lot of catfish as a child in Kentucky, but none of them ever sang to me.
They didn't talk? Really? We got to check this out. Maybe this was one of those, a fluke. I don't know if they all do this or not. But so I said, hey, I'm going to kick on a Facebook Live. I didn't know title. I just kicked it on immediately as he brought it in. It's sitting there. He threw it back. He's not a catfish fan. But it was kind of talking to me. Anyway, it's probably almost up to 6 million views now.
Uh-huh.
And I have gotten, and the funniest part of all, my husband being, he used to fish bass tournaments, and he's such an expert at fishing. And I, you know, I go, I'm along for the ride just for fun or whatever, for the sun, or just to sit back and listen to music. Well, and, you know, fishing, but not that serious. And now I'm on these angler shows. But it's all because of that catfish. Now I'm invited to all of these TV things. And
I did
a podcast with an emperor of women anglers a couple of days ago.
Well, now I have to find it. Now I'm going to search it. I'll search. My search words will be Rhonda Vincent singing fish.
Yes, the talking catfish. Just look on my Facebook page. You'll find it.
I'll do that. So we're going to have a big celebration for the Grand Ole Opry. You get to record with so many people that you love and admire. And another tune that you did, I want you to introduce this. I want to come back and talk to you just a little bit more. Please. One that you did with, it's an Elton John tune. It's one that you did with Dolly Parton, which also did very well for you.
I mean, one of those unlikely collaborations of project I would have never dreamed. Only God can provide these kind of things, because I would have never, if you had said, hey, one of these days you're going to be on an Elton John, Bernie Taupin tribute for their commemorating their 50 years of musical collaborations, I would have said, you know what, Elton John... You know, I did not grow up listening to Elton John, and how unlikely is it that Bernie Taupin's favorite music is bluegrass music? So we were thrilled to be asked to take one of their songs, and I was afraid they were going to say, we want you to come sing, we'll produce it with, you know, pop instrumentation that use your voice. They said, no, we want you to take it, make it into a bluegrass song, and that song was it. It really lent so well to bluegrass music. It's become one of my favorites to perform. I mean, I've been so fortunate, luckily, recently, to have these great songs they fit us so well. And then they said, then to make it a duet with Dolly. I mean, that was just the icing on the cake.
And I will tell you this, because I heard that single, because it was released to radio stations, I heard it, I loved it, I played it. I went and found the album, and Elton's not listening. But I will tell you, it was the best cut on the album of that song.
Oh,
I think so. Well, you're welcome. And I'm not just saying it has to be bluegrass. I listened to all of them, and I thought there aren't really other ones on there that I would think rung the bell. I mean, I know they're different artists, I get different kinds of music. I'm fine with that. I just didn't think any of them.
Yeah, Chris Stapleton. Oh my goodness, Miley Cyrus. I hope thank goodness my grandmothers are not living to see the song that's after, or that ours is after, that Miley Cyrus did. You know.
Yeah, I definitely think, no criticism of anybody else, but as for me, the one that really did it was this, with you and Dolly singing.
Thank you.
Sure. Well, we're gonna play that now. I'm gonna come back and talk to you just a little bit.
Okay.
I'll be right back with Rhonda Vincent. There you just heard "Please," a song, that wonderful introduction from Rhonda. And so we're kind of closing in on this Grand Ole Opry. We don't know. So then, am I correct in right now? Well, no, there's no way we could know a date.
No, it's not open. Luckily, Nashville has just introduced a 4-phase to get things back. The Opry, it would allow the Opry and the Ryman in so many places. Phase 4 will include. Did you see the plans? I was reading through it last night.
I have not.
What's getting ready to open. So it's basically, they're starting to open things up a little bit at a time. Restaurants will be at 1/4 capacity, then 1/2, then 3/4, and then at full capacity. So to me, I kind of looked at it like that, and it's 4 phases, and you can almost look by the restaurant. Is the restaurant have 1/4 of the people, 1/2, 3/4, or when they're opening up to everybody, that's when the last thing to open is the sports arena. But looks like to me, maybe at 3/4, or 1/2, they're going to allow things like the Opry, like the museum, the Country Music Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to allow them to open at 1/2 capacity. Mm-hmm. So they're gonna graduate that in, but to be open completely for everyone, I mean, this is to me gonna make people really want to go, because there's only gonna be a limited amount of seating.
You're right. The demand and all this pent up wanting to get out will outstrip the capacity.
So my thinking is, festivals, bluegrass festivals are perfect. It's out, usually open, in an open area. There's a lot of area. You can scatter out. You don't have to, you know, we're completely set up for shows. So my thinking is, I'm looking for ways to, as soon as states are opening up, like Missouri is getting ready to open up. That's where I've been during this whole time. We moved to the lake, so we're at a really good place for that. But as soon as the states open up, I think this is a perfect place to do bluegrass shows in these nice open areas.
I think you're right. You right before we began talking, I found you're doing webinars on beginner mandolin. You're reaching out. You're doing all sorts of things. That's kind of, I think, coming up next week as we're speaking.
I am. I'm doing a mandolin webinar, looking for new ways to do that. And, you know what, to not only to do that, but to monetize things. I'm kind of testing the waters, and hopefully my guys, it will allow them to generate some income, you know, is to be able to maybe help Josh host a guitar webinar. And so I think it's a great way. People are always asking me. I'm looking at what questions do people ask me most of all. One of the biggest questions is, where can I get a mandolin? Can you teach me the mandolin? You know, or do you give lessons? It's like, I don't really give lessons, but I thought this is a way to reach a lot of people all at the same time, generate some income, and have fun with it. You know, the few webinars that I've been in on so far, I was nearly went to sleep. They were more like lectures. And this is, I guess, the same sort of thing. But my goal is to make this fun and not to be like just a monotone. And here's how you play the mandolin. Yeah. And it's tuned to E, A, D, G. And this is,
I don't think you would do that. But
I want to change the tone of the webinars, please.
It's interesting though. So in order for you to teach this, even at a beginner level, which I don't mean to downgrade, you have to learn what you're playing so that you can demonstrate it and explain it. So even though you've been playing for so long and may not have the thought process and where your hands want to go and what you want to play, it forces you, doesn't it, to kind of slow down and think about what you're doing and why, so that you can explain to somebody who might be tuning in for not just to see Rhonda, but also to tune in to learn some beginning mandolin. You have to retrain yourself, don't you, or rethink it?
Well, all I really have to think about is how my dad taught me, because it was basically sitting down and showing me the chords and teaching me to tune the mandolin, which I guess you have to train your ear. It's something, a lot of it is repetitive. And I think that's why it's important to do a beginning mandolin webinar. Here's what you need to know. You can only progress if you take this and the repetition of doing that. You know, and so there, it's like if you do a beginning mandolin lesson, there's just not, I mean, it's just learning these few things and then put it into practice and basically telling people not to try to, because what people do, they want to play too fast, too quick, you know.
That's true.
That, I mean, it's safeguarding. There's a lot of information, but I think most of it you have to, and that's what I'm going to begin this by, listen, you're only going to get out of this what you put into it, because you have to utilize these things, and you have to do these things in order to progress. And then already people are like, well, I'm signed up for it. Are you going to do another one? It's like, are you serious? I haven't done this one yet.
Well, I was going to,
they want a follow-up, you know?
Well, do you think there would be a follow-up? I don't know what you call it, intermediate or something, or do you want to do another beginner? You have all these options. You'll figure this out.
That's one of the questions when you sign up. It's going to send you, or you're, I guess, a follow-up after the webinar. Would you be interested in a beginning part two? I think there should be a part two. Mm-hmm. But then when you go from that, it's basically learning tunes, learning more chord, progressive chords, or that's when I tag in Josh Williams or you know,
yeah.
Josh can take them into the advanced level.
Yeah. I think so. Well, that's interesting. It's interesting that you're doing that, and I'm not surprised you're doing it. I'm talking to Rhonda Vincent, a frequent contributor, which I'm so appreciative for Unreal Bluegrass. So that's neat. The webinar thing, we've talked a little about the impact of the coronavirus on the industry, the music industry. I also assume that nobody is recording, because to be in a recording studio, even though you have the things of the gobos or the things that separate you, you're still not. The distance still isn't what would be preferred between musicians.
Well, I looked at that early on. I mean, because we've been off the road since March 9th. That was when I got home. So I think I'm going up on about 50 days of being home. Well, about the next week, I got to thinking, hey, I could go to Nashville and we could start recording. Do you know, I could only find one recording studio, and then when I started talking to the musicians, like one of them, their wife was, they were exposed at work, they were on a two-week quarantine, and I, as I started studying that, it's like, this is not a good idea, because we don't want to, we need to keep the separation. This is before the mandatory stay-at-homes, but, you know, it already became clear that we're not in a situation where we want to go into close quarters and that we want to go into a recording studio. If I had the music done, I literally could go in and sing. And that, you know, that's the other thing. When we planned the Opry debut, the induction night, mm-hmm. I was planning to debut a brand new song. And that had become the other choice, I guess, or, you know, do I want to release a song now? And I decided that wasn't a good idea. I see a lot of people releasing music, and I'm thinking, that's like releasing a song, and then I can't have no way to promote
it.
I have no way to sell it.
Right.
So why would I burn this song? And it has such a beautiful message, and it's because it has a line that says, God is good and God is good to me. So it is exactly the message that I would want to send on the night that I'm inducted to the Grand Ole Opry. So it's like, I have to save this song. I have to save this for that induction night, I think.
I think you're right. Looking forward to hearing that one. I had to ask you before we began, before we went on the air, about a song that we could go away and sign off with, if you will. And you had a great one. By the way, when this all stuff happened, I had a communication with Sonny. You're going to talk about a medley you did with Sonny and Bobby. And we've talked about this album before. Ask him how he was doing, and what he wrote back is, don't go out. You know,
don't go out.
That's all he said. It was like a science fiction movie title. Don't go out.
Yeah.
So I pretty much don't, unless I have to stop in the office. But so you're going to introduce one more tune. I'm going to let you get back to fishing or catching singing fish or whatever you're doing. Now I have to find that right away. I got to find it. I've caught a lot of fish. I grew up in Kentucky. I still live in Kentucky. Fished all the ponds. None of the fish ever sang. But now I believe.
You're going to hear it with your own ears.
I believe.
Go to my Vincent official and look up the talking catfish.
Talking, I have to remember
catfish.
Talking.
Yeah.
Well, we'll
yeah,
find
yeah, it. So, yeah, he sings or she sings or she talks. Don't look at the comment. There are thousands of comments, and some of them are not very nice. That's the other thing that was hilarious, is seeing the gamut of, oh, my gosh, will you get her to shut up?
you were the fish.
I was the fish because the men are like, the men, I mean, what they don't realize, this is a Facebook Live, and we're just out here, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, Herb's like, get the net. He's serious about it. I don't care. And so people take it so seriously. It's like, why doesn't she shut up because I just want to fish? She needs to shut up. Why don't he leave her at home? Or they've got it.
Holy cow.
The ladies are like, he is so mean. How is she married to him? He's so rude. Or the other people are like, my assistant, she saw it and she didn't watch the end because she couldn't bear it. And she goes, oh my goodness, I wanted to just adopt that catfish. Or they say, how can you not tell that this is a female catfish? I have no idea.
I don't know
whether it is. I have no, but I mean, she was full of babies. So
well, that's
I guess
one way.
If they could see that,
yeah,
you know.
Okay.
But it's like, I have no idea. He turned it back, so it all ended well. But when he turned her back, she hit the side of the boat. Oh, my goodness.
Oh.
You know, animal activists and advocates are like, oh, this is terrible. He doesn't know how to throw a fish back. He hit her against the boat. So it is so entertaining if you watch the
interviews.
Some of them were so vulgar that had to be hidden. So luckily I have a strong... what do you call that? A strong filter that filters out the bad language. So, but sometimes they spell it a different way, and it went through anyway. And there's no way I can look through the thousands of them now. So,
well, I'll find it. And now, last year we talked about this album that I thought was a miracle of logistics that you did live at the Ryman.
Oh
and,
my
and
goodness!
And part of the miracle part was that you brought together brothers Osborne, Sonny, and Bobby. And I think that as we're leaving, you might want to introduce the medley that you did from that album, which is a fantastic album. It just tickles me every time I listen to it.
Oh, it was the most expensive, the most challenging project that I've ever done, because it was not only a CD but a DVD and a Blu-ray. We went to Mac Wiseman's house and we all sat around and they were visiting, talking about how they found Rocky Top and just, you know, reminiscing. And it's just a wonderful time to get to. One of my favorite memories, but, you know, to go to the Ryman Auditorium and to get to perform with bluegrass legends, Jesse McReynolds, the final performances of Mac Wiseman and Bobby and Sonny Osborne, who are the greatest influence on mine and my family's music, and love them. I loved everything about them. We tried to emulate their harmony, their arrangements, their instrumental arrangements, and everything about them. We just love that. Bobby's what an amazing singer. And to call them friends is the most special thing of all. So I love this project. It's called Live at the Ryman with Bluegrass Legends. And I was so fortunate. In fact, I started tearing up and had to really get myself back together. If you watch the DVD or the Blu-ray, mm-hmm. you will see I nearly in the middle of the medley of songs with Bobby and Sonny. It was such a special moment. And I nearly got lost in that moment and just started crying. And it's like, I'm not going to be able to sing again if I don't pull this together. And then I was the very night before, because we were going to do dum 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 da 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 da. Oh, a Midnight Angel. It has, Bobby said, you do realize it has a twin mandolin intro. No, I've sang that and recorded it before and did not really put that in my mind. So I had to learn this twin mandolin part overnight. And then in the middle of this, I got so carried away with where I was and who I was on stage with that I had to jump in and I nearly missed the solo in the middle. But, you know, it's probably things that nobody else is.
Well, they will now. They will now.
Yeah, they're going to know it.
They're going to look for that. And then you're going to get Facebook pages about what is it with that woman? Why doesn't he throw her back or whatever?
Well, yeah, the comments that we get are all very entertaining.
I don't understand the reason behind anger and meanness and stuff, but that's aside from the point. So we're going to play then. You did a medley of Sonny and Bobby music, and I'm gonna let you go, and we're going to ease into that cut from that. That amazing, one of the best things, and you should have one enlarged for your wall, blown up, a photograph of everybody on. There's a photograph of everybody there. And that's just
on the CD. Yes, it's a fold-out poster inside the CD. If you get it,
I've got it. You have to have a photo. I'm just telling you now. If you don't get the image blown up, that's an amazing photograph. And as time goes on, it's going to be more and more incredible because you know and I know, Sonny and Bobby didn't get together very often before that.
It was the first time I think they had sang in 10 years.
Mm-hmm. And then I think that led to them doing the 50th anniversary of Rocky Top or whatever, where they performed live in Raleigh a couple years after. I think that was the beginning of that opportunity. So that was a magical moment. And I say nobody could do it but you. I've told you that before. But get that photograph enlarged and hang it somewhere.
You know what? That might have to be behind me during the webinar. I've been trying to figure out what kind of...
That would be perfect.
Now it's not only just audio like we're talking today. See, you don't know if I'm in my pajamas or if in my Vera Wang gown. But now when you do the webinars and you're doing video, you got to get all dressed up for it.
Well, and that's true. And I figure, too, now you can, you know, you're not on the road, you're not performing, but you have all those great dresses and clothes, so you got to dress up like you're out on the road. So that'll give you a little bit of a feeling that life is coming back to normal. I'd say
well,
put
if
that
only those
it.
Were in Missouri, though. Those are all in Nashville.
Oh, that's
so I don't have
right.
to.
Okay.
Yeah, I've had right. people say, hey, I need you to do this. And it's like, well, I can't because all this stuff's in Nashville.
Okay.
And do you think I can drive through Kentucky? Will I be able to do that soon, or is your state shut down?
I think we let people drive through.
Oh, okay.
They're
that's
not
going to
stop
I've
you
heard
at the
that
border.
They
I don't
they
think
won't.
That's... I think they'll let you drive through. I haven't heard that.
Okay.
I'd say give it a shot if you really, really have to. If not, just stay and fish, catch more singing fish is what I would do.
Well, I need to know that in advance. I'd be 5 hours into my trip before I found out. So
I've not heard that they're turning away. We don't have any police on the border. I go to Cincinnati. People come over here. I've not seen it.
Okay, then I think I'm safe. I'm gonna have to head to Nashville and get some of those gowns before long. Maybe I'll, you know,
do
I've
it.
Got a picture of me mowing the yard in my gown, so.
Well, I'm going to let you get back to catching all these wonderful singing fish and talking
okay.
fish. And I'm going to, as I say goodbye, we'll play that medley of the Osmond Brothers from that Live at the Ryman. I always
well,
enjoy
thank
talking.
Thank you so much.
Oh, I always, Rhonda, I always enjoy visiting with you. Whether it's in person, on the phone, I'm always thrilled to have a chance. You always have something new to add, and that's why I like you on the programs, and you're always very genuine.
Oh, well, thank you. Yeah. Stay safe, stay healthy, and blessings to you, and I just hope to see you soon.
Thank you. I'll see you later. Bye.
Bye-bye.